So guys, welcome back to Realistic Week in the Life of an Entrepreneur who has been uploading on YouTube for 10 years and is documenting his journey to $1 billion. That's gonna be my new thing. I documented from zero to nine figures. I think I'm gonna try to document from nine figures to 10 figures now. I don't think many people have been able to say that before. But anyways, you guys seem to enjoy these more boring like weeks in life where I actually like talk about what I like actually do for work. As you know, there's a lot of things I can't talk about, unfortunately, or I have to talk about a lot later. But let me give you an insight into three things that have happened this week. First things first, I promise you guys every single month I'm gonna basically reveal one of the companies I'm a co-owner in, a large stakeholder in, investor in, and I'll always tell you whether I'm a smaller investor or, you know, have a larger stake in the business. So this month I'm gonna reveal one of my companies, Lyra, that I'm a co-owner in. I wrote a very large check at the pre-seed round to give me obviously quite a large portion of the business. And very big news, we've officially been accepted into Y Combinator. Now, for those of you guys that don't know about Y Combinator is basically the most prestigious startup accelerator in the world. It's like Harvard for startups, except even harder to get into. I mean, you've got companies like Airbnb, Stripe, Dropbox, Reddit. All these companies actually come from going through the Y Combinator program. And honestly, there are thousands. I think even, obviously they don't publish the numbers, but my guess would be tens of thousands of businesses a year that apply for YC. And the acceptance rate is so ridiculously low. So just so you understand, not only do they invest, but they also basically incubate and help nurture the businesses to basically get to their first official round. Now, most YC businesses actually raise at a $30 to $40 million valuation at the seed round. But in all fairness, those businesses usually don't even have a working product. Like, we have a working product right now that we've been using for the past few months. And in fact, one of the very interesting components of the pitch from Courtney, who's the founder, is that he actually used Lyra, our software, when pitching YC. Like, he literally did the call on Lyra. So after being 3 months on site, the pitch should be mid-June, and I think they'll probably raise between a $50 to $100 million valuation for a seed round. Listen, guys, obviously I'm not gonna get into the specifics of my investment and whatnot, but let's just say to be a co-owner in the business and manage to get in a pre-seed and the stage that I did, it's high risk with a lot of these businesses, because quite frankly, when you write checks like that, 99% of these businesses never go anywhere. It's just Courtney, I've known for 6 years now. I believe in him. He has this incredible ability where he has technical ability. You know, he doesn't have 10 out of 10 technical ability, but he has more than enough to actually be able to speak to the entire dev team, to work with the CTO and know what's actually going on. But then on the flip side, he knows how to speak to investors. He knows how to position Lyra in a way where it's very enticing for investors. And I mean, listen, maybe for people who aren't in that world and aren't aware, like, being accepted into YC, it's like the biggest stamp of approval you could ever have. So yeah, really exciting news. So he flew out to Dubai for a couple of days just to hang with me and the team and catch up on everything, because we actually have our soft launch in a couple of weeks from now. So with that being said, let me actually play some of the conversation with Courtney. Kind of had like an evolution starting from software, going to a few different businesses, and then now coming back to software, but just in a much, much more serious way.
Yeah, I think initially taught myself how to code. I didn't really have much business knowledge. I was a great engineer, like code and all that, but no business knowledge. I think it was really an agency that taught me that part of it. Because when you're a software developer, right, sure, you maybe do a bit of marketing to get traffic to your ads, but you don't have a hiring team and a sales team and like all these things. So when I went to London, I needed to really start learning that quite quickly. And then I sort of found you. Made tons of mistakes.
Yeah, I guess we first started talking 5-6 years ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah. 5-6 years ago, started talking. Obviously, you were running your agency.
I even had the t-shirt with like the agency brand on it. Like, I was all in there.
I remember you got your agency to a solid point. You guys were, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were doing like 50-60K a month?
Yeah, I think a bit more.
Courtney's doing, we were just discussing before the call, right around, you want to say the specific number?
Today, as of today, 51.8K in pounds. So that's, correct me if I'm wrong, it's about $60,000, probably around there.
So you start off as a developer, then you're like, okay, cool, I need business experience. So start running an agency, obviously made very good money with your agency, but then you had a yearning to go away from having a lifestyle business to, okay, now let me go back and let me try to build $1 billion company.
Yeah, so you know, it was software where you're building a product just at a small scale. Then I actually did the dropshipping thing for a while. That was like my segue into what niche I want to do for the agency. So from there, I went into agency. learned, you know, a bunch of skills and all these things, but I wanted to build something that's mine. You know, people would ask me, what do you do? And I would describe it, but it's not like I built this thing. That was a big thing for me. And so I wanted to go back into software. And this time I came in with experience. I'd already made a little bit of money, which I think changes your perspective because you can take a bit more risk and play bigger. And I was also young. So I was like, if I'm going to do this, I might as well actually really try. And I grew up watching the Silicon Valley TV show and The Social Network like 10 times. And so I wanted to chase that.
What's interesting about you, and I guess one of the reasons that I invested in Lyra and you at the stage that you guys were at, like, you kind of bridge a developer understanding and like business understanding, because obviously developers and technical founders, they find it hard to raise. They find it hard to tell a story about a company. They find it hard to pretty much do anything except build product. And you're kind of that bridge. I wouldn't say, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you're probably not like a 10 out of 10 technical, but enough to be able to speak to both sides of the equation.
Yeah, I think I have enough knowledge to make decisions on my tech stack, which is a big thing, to know if someone is quoting the correct time frames, because, you know, engineers will say it takes, you know, 50 days, and I think it should take 5 if you take certain shortcuts. So enough to know sort of what's happening when things break as well, to call on the right people or shout at the right people. High level decision making, and if absolutely necessary, I can find things in the code base and fix things.
You know, obviously, first things first, you know, huge with the Y Combinator investment. And I think that probably helped you so much when you actually pitched to them.
Yeah.
Because probably you've been speaking to business owners. Obviously, it's a different league and a different sphere than, you know, your agency days. But like, you know how to, first of all, sell, which I think a lot of founders at that stage have never done that. And I think you kind of just know how to speak their language, which was a big advantage to get there.
100%. I think a lot of it is crafting a narrative and being able to express a narrative with confidence. Mm. Which is pure sales. But then it's, once you've landed that, then it's, they ask you questions.
Yeah.
And a lot of the questions is about execution risk, because it's so early days. And that's where, if you don't have any technical understanding, I think you really, really fall down.
Well, I don't, obviously there's certain parts that we can't talk about with that whole experience. Some very exciting aspects, but unfortunately, yeah, we can't disclose those right now. But one thing should be an issue is, which is very unique, is the fact that they, like, you end up doing the call in Lyra.
Correct.
So you, the interview and the pitch in of itself was a showcase for the product, which I'm sure definitely must have helped in terms of their decision to move forward, especially with the level of confidence that they did.
Yeah.
And I mean, from what you told me, they basically were like, yeah, let's do this call on Lyra, and if it doesn't work, that's the end of that.
I think they have a running mental checklist, and they're looking for certain things. One of them is idea, business, etc., and one of them is technical execution. Like, can they actually build whatever? I think we're in a unique position. It's like, well, I'll send you a link. Let's move this call onto Lyra. If it works, we can ship. If it doesn't work, we can't. But it was just a really cool experience, you know, using your product and people seeing the value rather than me having to explain it. So I think it was a big contributor.
And I guess why did you come to me? Especially just because obviously I know the stake that I have in the business. And correct me if I'm wrong, of all the investors, I'm the only one that negotiated. And you have some pretty heavy hitters on the cap table.
Yes, we do. I think one of the things I'm proudest of is the cap table. Why did I come to you? I think, first of all, I've known you a long time, and I've actually consumed a lot of the content and learned from it and grown with it as well. So that's one aspect. I also recognize through going through all that what my strengths are. I think I'm good at capturing demand, but not generating it. And I don't want to do that either. And I think you're quite good at that. And so it's a naturally good partnership, especially because, as you mentioned, our tool fits directly into the ecosystem with everything else obviously we have going on. So I think it makes sense. And I already had significant trust because I've gone through your stuff and I've seen you operate. So it's not like I've heard good things. It's like I've seen good things. Why did you invest?
So I just think it fit perfectly with the ecosystem. There's a natural synergy. Obviously, as you know, I'm very, I guess I don't mind saying this, like I'm pretty aggressive in my terms. Every single company I'm involved with, I throw my weight around, and if it's companies I know I bring that ecosystem to, right? And obviously, like, even with like Lyra, with the product development side of things, the fact that like you get to work so closely with my team, and there's like my team is available. So I kind of like have my own incubator between all the companies. Thing is, right now, as Lyra continues to roll out more features, and first of all, we actually start accepting users, every single person, at least in AFL, should be using Lyra, without a doubt. I mean, listen, if you're taking more than 10 calls a week, you should be using Lyra. Full stop. Actually, first things first, we should probably explain like Lyra. Like,
yeah, that's
let's start there. So, like, what is? Let's say, for example, let's give different USPs. Let's say, imagine I'm a coach. What am I using Lyra for?
Yeah. So, I mean, let's walk through the life of a coach, right? So, the first thing is they are trying to sell. So, to do that, they probably are jumping on calls, and let's be honest, most of them go to follow-ups, right? And if it's a high ticket, they also need their friend, their girlfriend, whoever to consider it. And now you end up on multiple calls all over the show, and sometimes messages or WhatsApp in between, and it's all lost. The first thing we do is just centralize it. So you can make calls in Lyra. You can have video calls like Google Meet in Lyra. You can send messages with synced to WhatsApp and everything. And because it's synced and in one place, you get way better response rates. But now the key value is we have all of that context in one place, which no other tool in the world's been able to do. And AI is very good when it has context. When it doesn't have context, it messes up. And the other thing is AI needs a way to express itself because it can't talk, right? So we have the context, we feed that to our intelligence engine, and then it uses it to generate this like Figma board of widgets. So it will log into the contract software and bring it onto the board. It will say, hey, this person, you have 50 case studies, only three of them are relevant to this person. And it's just removed the things that are not relevant. But now the person feels like, wow, this guy spent 3 hours making this whole board for me. And then also, there's a crazy stat, 95% of most like sales consideration happens without you being on the call. So the guy's thinking about it afterwards, he's asking his girlfriend, whatever, you're busy. You don't know what's going on, but the AI is watching what they are doing on that board. And it's saying, hey, this guy's spending all of his time on the return policy. So he has doubts and he cares about that. So if you were to send a follow-up, you should probably just talk about that. Not only that, because we've seen this 10 other times with 10 other sales calls, here's the message that actually worked. So maybe you should just press send. And then when they actually convert, now you need to coach them. Again, that same board can just grow with the coaching recordings. It can grow with the action items you assign, the case studies. When he becomes a case study, it can grow. The renewal point, you have to have another Stripe invoice. Again, all inside one board. And it's bespoke and it's unique and it's made to that person and they feel like you care, and it's an incredible experience that no one else has. And because of that, way higher conversion rates and also way shorter time frames. Because if you're trying to rely on that person to explain to their girlfriend or their business partner or whoever why they should buy your thing, probably they're not going to do a good job. If they can just send a link, they can see exactly what you can see, fully all drawn out. And not only that, when that new person opens it, you're going to get their information. You can just sidestep and say, hey, I know that you're the decision maker or the influencer. I'd love to just have a quick follow-up call with you. And otherwise, you would never have known that this person existed. And you can imagine this at scale because now we have AI. And I think truly what we're trying to do is build the future place that business communication happens. And I just think we're going to live in a world where AI is an extra teammate. And for that to happen, fundamentally, infrastructure needs to change. And so we want to be that next wave.
Well, actually, I think that's probably a good leeway into discussing the launch.
Yes.
So doing it via Product Hunt?
Yeah. So we're going to do Product Hunt first. And then what we're going to do is slowly onboard 10 to 15 people a week. They'll get, you know, hands-on service. We really want to make sure that we're learning a lot from the initial customers. And I know that we're going to give them a little gift from you.
So as Courtney said, we're only letting in, 10, 15 people a week?
Yeah.
So when they join the wait list, I'll leave the link in the description. Trust me, like I'm telling you this right now, if you are taking more than 10 calls a week, whether that be sales calls, whether that be check-in calls, whether that be coaching call, any sort of call where you need that context and it needs to build on top of each other. And this replaces like your whole ecosystem, right? Rather than having to use Zoom and then you're sending invoices via this and you're doing like, you can have your whole ecosystem wrapped into one. So if you're taking more than 10 calls a week, try it out. In fact, like, can I give them a 30-day refund window?
Yeah, I think we can make that work.
Okay, so like, there we go. Literally no risk. And it's, you get started for cheapest plans, $89 a month.
$89. And thinking about, we can do something better.
All right, so here's what we'll do for my audience.
Yeah.
They have to apply because obviously we're only letting in 10, 15 people a week. $89, 30-day refund window.
Yep.
Because we're that confident. And we will airdrop them 10,000 credits.
We can make this happen.
Which is worth, approximately about $400.
Yes, and going up.
And yeah, credits is obviously, you want to explain that system to them.
Yeah, so basically we believe in our product that much that we've tried to charge the least amounts possible. And then we're usage-based. So if you use it a lot, you'll pay a lot. If you use it not at all, you won't. Mm-hmm. And we think that's quite a fair deal.
So ladies and gentlemen, I'll leave a link in the description below to actually apply to be one of our early users. As Courtney said, we'll let in about 10 to 15 people a week. No questions asked, money back guarantee, just to prove like we want you to test it. And if you're not happy, which trust me, that won't be the case. You're gonna be over the moon with it. We 100% return the money. And in fact, we're also gonna airdrop you about $400 worth of credits as well. So that is a company I invested in last year. And obviously it's incredible to see how things are moving. To be honest, there's a lot of other stuff with Lyra that we actually can't talk about, like, and it's annoying because that stuff I can't talk about just for confidentiality reasons takes it from being an accomplishment like this to like Yeah, it's big. It's honestly very, very big. And when we do open up the first round, people are be clamoring to invest. So once again, massive, massive credit to Courtney and the entire team as Lyra.
Thank you.
I take absolutely zero responsibility for, you know, what's happened over there. It's just, you know, as a co-owner, an investor, you know, strategic advisor, took a very calculated risk on investing what I did in that business. And obviously it's turned out quite well. And, you know, we're just getting started. All right, so ladies and gents, you've probably seen this bits and bobs either on my Instagram or I think even in other videos we featured it. This is my new gym, a little bit more boxing focused. It's tough, you know, I train, I think every day, six or seven days a week. So a lot of times it's the commuting to and from that's the real killer. So yeah, just decided when it comes to boxing, trying to make the gym a little bit more boxing focused. So just been doing that the past couple months. But now, actually a pretty good time to announce that I am doing a Hyrox. I'm doing my first ever Hyrox on the 12th of April in Sharjah here in UAE. And we're actually doing it as a company challenge. So I like to, about every 12 months, set a physical challenge to one of my companies. And a year ago we did a marathon. So I actually ran 3 in 7 days in 3 continents. We had, I think, 70 people in the company run the marathon, which was super sick. Only 3 people didn't finish.
We're not prepared, but we're resilient, we're robust.
And this year we are running it back for a new challenge. So we're gonna do a full company Hyrox. So I think I featured it only once or twice before, but I use the Big Day app for a lot of the strength training, a lot of running, to be honest. I don't do too much strength training these days. In all honesty, I don't think I've really done much weights in a long time. I mean, of course, you know, when you're traveling, hotel gym, stuff like that, it's nice to just pull up the Big Day app. But I do more, especially if I'm somewhere scenic, like UK, Europe, I like to go for runs more. So I use the Big Day app more for that. But now I have a chance to actually use the Hyrox programming inside the Big Day app. So all of the programming inside of the Big Day app was actually done by my personal trainer, Josh, who I started working with 4 or 5 years ago. And then we had to stop working together because obviously I moved to Dubai, but conveniently, so did he. So he's right here.
Hello.
So yeah, Josh, you want to give him a little bit of background about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So performance enhancing coach, specialized in making people robust as they can be to undertake things like Hyroxes, marathons, all the good stuff. But you're about 7 weeks away from your first Hyrox. So the main things we're going to be focusing on here is building up some top strength. Then we're going to ease our way into some speed strength, but ultimately in today's session we're going to focus more so on like Hyrox stimulation, just to get the body used to the different movements and doing the movements consecutive to you as well, because that's probably one of the biggest things people get wrong. It'll be good. Now let's get a sweat on.
So what's the biggest mistakes people usually make with Hyrox?
They forget that it's majority of running, so they neglect their runs. It's about, I'm not sure what the exact stat is, but it's around about 45% of the race is running. So people will just do Hyrox, when really you need to be able to train speed within your running, top end strength. You need to have a well-rounded approach to your training program as well. Because Hyrox is such a high intense race, people feel like their training needs to be exactly like that as well. And such it does need to, but you need to have, I don't know, a bit cliche, yin to the yang, and just have other aspects of your training involved to really make sure when you do go to Hyrox, you're fully prepped, fully prepared to execute and race day.
Yeah, so once a week, there's a long run, right?
Always a long run, yeah. It's going to be anywhere between like 60 to 90 minutes long. Yeah. And generally speaking, the majority of individuals are going to be doing the Hyrox around about 60 to 90 minutes. So just getting the heart rate used to be able to have that volume is super important, and it's good to build that solid base as well.
Nice. Yeah, we did our 60 minute long run yesterday. Haven't run in a while, to be honest. So yeah, getting back into it. Just been doing tennis, boxing. So it's weird, man, going back to this style of training. We used to do it a lot 4 years ago, a lot of the functional stuff.
Oh yeah, the good stuff.
A lot of the functional training that made you want to throw up. I remember those days.
I think for you as well, though, even though you've been doing your boxing and tennis, you've got some like pretty good genetics, and you would ease your way into this training very seamlessly, which is great.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. You'll be smash it.
Nah, I'm excited. For me, I just find, like, I think that's even the way we structure the app.
There's no real like bodybuilding stuff on the app. Like even the strength training stuff, that sort of stuff. Like when I'm traveling, like hotel gyms, that's the programming that I use and the workouts I use for that stuff. But yeah, it just keeps things interesting. I hate just your regular like bro gym players.
So, yeah, mate. It's so like 5 years ago, especially now where the industry is going. People don't just want to look good, but they want to feel good as well. And that's why like races like HYROX have just gone so popular as well. And when it comes down to training as well, like the hypertrophy bodybuilder stuff does play its part, but it's boring, right? So adding some like proper strength training into it, corrective exercise, you know, the stuff that you actually need as well as you want is how you can get that well-rounded approach.
All right, so we'll put everything up on screen direct from the Big Day app. Yeah, what can we start with?
So always we're going to start with some mobility. You probably sit down at a desk for a lot of your day, so it's opening up the body is going to be important. And then we're going to go into something called a hot start, just getting the heart rate up. So it's going to be four rounds of a 500 meter run. There's some hand release press ups and then some body weight lunges. We'll have a bit of rest and then we're going to go into a bit of a HYROX simulation, which is going to consist of everything within the HYROX, just without the running. So the ski erg, sled push, but we're going to change the sled push and sled pull because we're waiting on that to arrive. So what we're going to do, we're going to substitute that to sled push. We're going to do something called a devil's press, so you can kind of guess how that's going to make you feel. And then the sled pull, we're going to do some bent over rows and then some burpee board jumps, row machine, farmer's carry, some weighted walking lunges, and then to finish off, only 100 warbles.
only.
Okay, yeah,
let's do it. Let's get into it.
You know what, I always find they look funny. Are they?
Yeah. What are you trying to like spread yourself out a little bit? Because we only do 5 days a week. Stretch my hands to you. Life like this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very life like. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was just like. Sled pull. But we'll do the dumbbell row instead.
Cool.
Okay, do 20 reps with that. And then we'll go into burpee board jumps. Put yourself a drink.
Yeah, okay.
It's a big day, it's a big day. Also, when you do the stations, that's when you can take a bit of the breather. Jump, step, then bring your right foot up. Yeah, perfect. Nice. If you've got it in a tank to jump whenever it works for you guys, putting some music on. Yeah. Really good effort.
Looking for a bright light, seeker with your life like riding on a white bike, feeling like a sight bike, pressing on the gas, supernova for it.
Get back into it, once we get back into it, it's game over for you, Alex.
Well, me, why? We're a team.
You get nice rhythm, build the ride. Body will adapt very quickly, but it's definitely a very good start.
Yeah,
like the paces that you were holding were like pretty decent, and straight away doing the exact way that you need to do in a HYROX first session is good.
No, to be honest with you, he's being nice. It was a slow start, but that's like everything. Whenever you do anything new for the first time, or you haven't done it for a long time, so it'll take some time. We'll get there.
100%. And I think another big thing as well, which people get wrong, is that when they first start in the HYROX prep or any type of prep, they think of themselves now doing the race, and the feelings of overwhelm come in, when really you need to think of yourself X amount of weeks training underneath your belt, then doing the race.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that perfect analogy, train hard, fight easy, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. In a month, it'll be a totally different story. 100%. For right now, it's not fun.
So while all this stuff has been going on, we have been doing a lot of shoots for the eyewear brand. We have some incredible new stock coming for the eyewear brand, some big changes happening there. As you guys may have seen in the last vlog, we have our offices in Madrid, hired an incredible team, filling out that office quite quickly, scaling it up quite quick. As I said, our revenue targets for this year are about $10 to $12 million with about 50% net margin. Obviously that will go down as we scale even further. Next year, we're gonna try 3X that. But yeah, I actually sent Liz, our new CEO, as well as Amara to Milan for the trade show. So they caught up with our manufacturer as well as our lead designer. And while they were at the trade show with our manufacturer and lead designer, they also did a small little campaign shoot there. So I handed over to Amara for Amara Cam, and yeah, she'll walk you through everything that went down in Milan.
Guess who's back? It's Amara. We are back with some more Amara check-ins. I am just getting ready to go to the airport. We are going to Milan for the weekend to go to the Mido convention, which is very, very exciting. I'm gonna learn one or two things. So, as usual, it's the resident vlogger stepping in to keep you guys in the loop.
The darkness keeps you shining.
Made it to the hotel room. It has been a long travel day. I ended up being delayed 2 hours for the flight. So anyways, no complaining because we're here. We made it. We're safe. And that's the most important thing. And I will see you guys in the morning because we have an early 8 a.m. start. Good morning. We are going to go to Mido very soon, which is basically the International Exhibition of Optics. Tons and tons of new frames, cutting edge products, all new eyewear technology, trending shapes, all that kind of stuff. And I think it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, eyewear exhibition in the world. And it happens every year in Milan. So I am super, super excited. So yeah, I'm gonna go meet Liz now, who is our COO, and we will head to Mido. I'm here with Liz, the COO of Hills. Liz doesn't like the camera as much as I like the camera, but I told her today it's obligatory. So we are here, we made it, and I'm excited to show you guys what the deal is. Are you excited, Liz?
I'm so excited.
Amara Cam check-in. Very cool to see all the innovative things going on. However, we're going to meet up with the designer, so that's where we're heading to now, and we will check in again. It is now Sunday morning, so yesterday we filmed basically all afternoon into the evening, and then by the time I got home I zonked out, so I actually forgot to give you guys an Amara Cam check-in. Anyways, Mido yesterday was very, very interesting. It was super nice because we met the development designer, we also met the head of the factory that we used, so like it was really nice to put faces to people. And I think it's an important thing to like show face and build that relationship if you get the opportunity to. I think it makes a big difference. So it was really nice to meet them and discuss in person the plan and basically the cooking, you know, let us cook. You guys don't even know what's coming. And anyways, it was also amazing just to see so many like different colors of acetate. I was drowning in acetate, and we also want to start using bioacetate. So it's like a lot more sustainable, and there's just like a million options. Anyways, on the agenda today, we are doing a bunch of filming. I'm just about to check out now and then head out to the streets. We are shooting in a little coffee shop with a very cute girly this morning, and then I will be with three guys this afternoon.
Nobody's next in between me and my man. It's me and Mr. Jones.
Me and Mr.
What kind of fuckery is this? You made me miss the slick reggae. And thought I didn't love you when I did. Can't believe you played me out like that. No, you ain't worth gasless. Plus,
a rap,
yet again. We nailed it. The camera guys were so good. They shot a lot of organic iPhone content and it turned out to be amazing. Our concept was also super cool, so I feel like we pulled it off. It was a last minute rush, but I think we nailed it.
So guys, that is a bit of a shorter week, but that is an update on a week in my life. Obviously, as I said, I can't share absolutely everything, and there's stuff that even while it's going on, sometimes I have to wait a few months to kind of reveal. But yeah, guys, as I said, it's cool. I've shown you from zero to nine figures, everything on YouTube. And I thought before, you know what, maybe this stuff isn't relatable, and fucking maybe it still isn't relatable. But part of me is also like, you know, it's fine because I'm making so much content where I'm helping the version of me that was making $5,000 a month or $3,000 a month or even $10,000 a month. It's also cool to kind of give you guys an insight now 10 years into entrepreneurial game where my work is very different. A lot of my work is just overseeing my companies and overseeing my empire. And as I said, this year I'm keeping my promise and every single month revealing another one of my businesses. And I'll be honest, a lot of them will shock you. A lot of people really don't know, quite frankly, how much shit I own, how many companies I own, or how many companies I'm invested in. To be honest, I think the next month's one will really shock people. Like really, truly, people will be talking about that one for probably the rest of the year. So with that being said, you'll have to wait till next month to see what that is. And as always, I'm watching from afar. And I'm rooting for you.